what does the word salvation mean when it appears in the book of Romans? You might be surprised to find out it's not what you think. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus, a production of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're currently going through a series where we're pulling out all kinds of insights from Romans chapter 8. Now, at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to come back and tell you how to get your hands on some of our resources. So stay tuned for that. But as for now, we're going to jump right into our discussion. And today, we're doing something a little bit unique. We're doing a question and answer session from Romans. So here is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
Well, today we're going to do some Q&A. Here, Bob, are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
We got a question from a listener. I heard Bob say that the word save never refers to eternal life or justification in Romans or Hebrews. However, the following texts seem very much to refer to spiritual salvation. And then he lists some texts here.
Right.
Romans 5, 9 to 10, 8, 24, 10, 1, and Hebrews 7, 25. And he asks, what should we think about them? And this kind of comes down to one of our previous shows that we had. When we're being like good Bible students, we need to ask what a particular word means in the Bible, irrespective of how we have been taught it traditionally.
Right.
And save is one of those words, because what do we think of when we think of save?
Right. People normally think of going to heaven, having eternal life, being born again.
Right. And so we read save in the Bible or saved, and we think to ourselves, this must be salvation from hell or salvation to heaven or whatever. And you were saying save has different meanings in the Bible.
Right. It's even, as we're going to see in these passages, even if the surrounding words sound like they may be talking about salvation from eternal condemnation, you need to consult the context because you can get confused. And this particular person who's writing in is aware of the fact that salvation, sozo or soteria, has different meanings, but in these four texts, he's wondering what they mean. So, yeah, let's go through them.
The first one is from Romans. It's Romans chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. And here's what it says. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, is Paul talking about salvation from hell in those two verses?
No, and let me show you why. In the first place, the first use of salvation is found in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And that's where he says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And the way that's normally read is the gospel that Jesus died and rose again is the power of God unto everlasting life to all who believe.
So most people would take that verse and they'd think Paul is speaking evangelistically, like that initial salvation that unbelievers have to experience.
Right. Or you could say here he's reminding the believers in Rome of this evangelistic message. But I would say what's going on here is he is talking about deliverance from God's wrath. And that's brought out in Romans 1, 18 through 32, where right after he talks about this, he says the wrath of God is revealed. And all through the book of Romans, it talks about being saved from the wrath of God, which is a present experience, not a future one. But also look at the context here. Notice what it says, much more having now been justified. That's past tense,
so
right?
So that's something true of them already.
Right.
They're already justified.
Right, because at the moment the believers in Rome believed, they were justified. So he says, since you have been justified, that would be another way of translating it, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved as future, right?
Right. So he's talking about a future type of salvation that these believers can experience.
Right, but they don't yet have.
But they don't have it yet.
So this is some sort of future salvation. Or you could argue it's a potential ongoing salvation. You could say this is a salvation which a person could have now and continue to have in the future as long as they meet certain conditions. But notice he goes on to say in this verse, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The justification section in Romans is 3:21 to 4:25. Guess how many times the word save and salvation occur in that section?
I don't know, 10, 20,
yeah, exactly.
30.
None.
Oh, wow.
The next use after 1:16 and 17 is 5, 9, and 10. And it's talking about the same thing, deliverance from wrath.
All right, very interesting. So what is that wrath? Is that the wrath of hell? Is that like eternal wrath of forever being separated from God?
No, it's God's wrath that the believer or the unbeliever can experience in this life if he or she is not walking in the light of God's truth. Or, for the believer, not walking in the power of the resurrection, because notice how he goes on to say, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Christ.
So he's saying they're no longer enemies. They're reconciled.
Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Mm-hmm. He talked about we've been justified by his death. He says we'll now be saved in the future by his life. That means, as we live out the resurrection life of Christ, as the Spirit takes the resurrection power of Christ, applies it to our life, we will experience deliverance from wrath. And you can see that in Romans 6:4, Romans 7:4, all the way through the book, that the resurrection is tied with victory in the Christian life.
Right. There was a guy named Major Ian Thomas, and this was one of his favorite verses. This was kind of like a sanctification salvation verse. This is how a saved Christian is supposed to live. Jesus' life through
Amen.
Us.
Live. Amen.
All right. Well, see, that kind of helps us read the Bible a little bit better. We tend to think when we read about salvation, it's always that initial moment, as if that's all that God cares about, just that initial moment of salvation, and then he kind of cuts you off, and then he just ignores the rest of your life. But that's not true. We are initially saved. At that point of faith, we get eternal life and we get justification. But that happens so that we can live the Christian life. We need to experience that kind of salvation too, and that's what Romans is all about.
Exactly.
All right, well, so what about this next verse that he quotes?
Let's go to Romans 8, what is it, 24?
8:24, and 8:24 says this. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? All right, well, what does salvation mean there? For we are saved.
Okay.
We were saved.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to notice is it is a past tense, so it could refer to regeneration. However, the point in the context is not that the readers have been saved from eternal condemnation. It's that the readers have been saved from the calamitous effects of sin. That is, they have begun to walk with Christ. And if you read 8:17 through the end of chapter 8, you see they're undergoing suffering. The verses which immediately precede this talk about all of creation groans as we as believers are groaning as we anticipate the redemption of our bodies. And the hope is the redemption of our bodies. That's, we know it's coming, but it's not here yet. And when he says we were saved in hope, yes, that could refer to regeneration, but I think it refers, as it does in the entire book of Romans, to deliverance from wrath. What Zane Hodges says in his commentary, Romans Deliverance from Wrath, is that this deals with deliverance, not to regeneration. Deliverance from bondage to sin, which is a major theme in Romans 5, 6, and 7. And remember, chapter 7 ends with, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
That's right.
So this is about deliverance from sin's bondage in their past experience. And so Romans 8, 1 through 13 is all about victory in the Christian life, victory over sin's bondage. And then Romans 8, 14 through 39 deals with, quote, our spiritual triumph over suffering, unquote. And that's Hodges, page 220. So verse 24 falls in that section. And so, sure, when we look at simply the words, we were saved in this hope, we might think it refers to regeneration. But in this context, it means we were delivered from bondage to sin.
Right. So again, this is that sanctification salvation that's so characteristic of Romans 5, 2, 8. All right. I think we have time for one more passage. All right. Romans 10, 1. And that reads this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. All right, what kind of salvation is there?
Well, one thing to notice is Paul is not talking about individual salvation. He's talking about corporate or national salvation,
right,
the national salvation of Israel. And the issue here is not salvation from eternal condemnation. He's talking about the national salvation of Israel from God's wrath. At the time Paul was writing, Israel was experiencing God's wrath. And soon, A.D. 66 to 70, there was coming what Jesus had told them was coming, the Jewish war, and it was going to end in 70 A.D. with the temple being destroyed.
Right, and that's when the Romans came, and they just destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, took everyone into slavery. I mean, it was a national calamity that was
Israel
coming.
Stopped being a nation until 1948.
Right. And Jesus warned that that was happening. So that was an expression of God's wrath.
And over a million Jews died.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God promised there's a day coming when Israel will be the leading world power. And the Lord is going to bless Israel mightily. I think of Isaiah 35, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 52, Jeremiah 23, Daniel 2 and 7, Zechariah 9:9, many other texts. Well, Paul's looking forward to that day. He's looking forward to the day when Israel is going to be saved from God's wrath and instead blessed by him. Here's what Zane Hodges writes in his commentary. The term for deliverance, soterion, is to be taken here consistently with the use throughout the epistle of the word group sozo soteria. Its reference is to rescue from the temporal display of God's anger.
Well, so that definitely gives us a kind of a different spin. It gives us more tools in the toolbox to kind of understand God's word. So when you read the word save or salvation in the Bible, don't automatically assume that the biblical author is talking about that point when you become born again. There are other options. Options like sanctification, salvation, deliverance from God's wrath, and several other possibilities. For more information, go to our website, faithalone.org, and look up the word save or salvation, and you will find tons of articles and videos addressing this very topic. All right, see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen. What an incredible discussion. That living out Christ's resurrection life leads to us being delivered from God's temporal wrath. What an incredible idea. Today's episode was in response to a listener's question through email. Maybe you've got a question or a comment that you'd like to get to Bob and Sean. You can contact us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And by the way, you can also access all kinds of free resources at our website, faithalone.org. I really think you'd benefit from getting a subscription to our magazine, reading our blog posts, listening to our podcast, and even connecting with our theological journal. You can even find out about upcoming events on our website, faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, Sean and Bob are going to talk about whether or not the Christian life is difficult or easy. So don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.